everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined by Hashi Bai.
Hello.
Hello, Hashi. And today our special guest is Anand Subbaraj.
Hello, folks.
Hello, Anand. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name is Anand Subbaraj. I'm a senior PM manager in the Azure Data Factory team, and I'm here to provide an overview of Azure Data Factory and talk about some of its use cases.
Awesome stuff. So before we get to the Azure Data Factory stuff, Hashi's going to go through a bit of news.
Yes. I have a couple of news items on the screen. The first one is our public preview of Azure Key Vault. So for any encryption solution, it's really important to have the key secured somewhere. So the Azure Key Vault services actually allow you to save your security keys on cloud securely, and you can access those keys directly from your cloud-based resources. So it's a really wonderful solution that enable both security and performance for your key management.
Great. And we're hopefully going to have a show about that sometime in the near future.
Yeah. And of course, the G-Series, which you might heard before, now is going GA. So we have these insanely huge machines. If you have an existing application you want to scale up on the cloud, and you don't want to change your application, but you want to take more workloads, you can use the G-Series. We have like super large RAM and local SSDs for performance boosting.
It's going to make a really great Minecraft server for you, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And last but not least, we have a tighter Docker integration. For now, if you go to the Azure portal, when you create a new Ubuntu machine, you can actually have this option to install the Docker engine directly on it. It's a one-click experience. Actually, for that, I can give you a brief show on those. So now I'm on my portal. If I create a new virtual machine, you can see we have a new image on the gallery. This is a Docker on Ubuntu. You just click on it, and then you just like create a regular Ubuntu machine. You enter a hostname, username, and password. Then everything will be configured for you. Then once you boot up the machine, you can use Docker to do all the Docker magic.
Sounds like it's pretty easy to get started with Azure or with Docker.
Okay. Yeah, that's the news item.
All right. Thanks, Hashi. We're going to go ahead and get switched over and get ready for our main presentation.
This is Radio 4.
It's 9:05 and nearly time for 9:06.
All right, Anand, let's talk about some Azure Data Factory.
Sure. So Azure Data Factory is a new service in Azure. It's a managed service. And the main goal of Azure Data Factory is to manage information production by delivering trusted data assets across the organization. And the key personas for Azure Data Factory is the data developers and IT.
Okay.
And it does that by providing a composition platform for diverse and disparate processing environments, data stores, and data movement services to operationalize analytics to deliver enterprise-grade analytics for organizations.
Okay.
So today, organizations, right, they are dealing with an heterogeneous environment.
Sure.
And this is with the evolution of big data and IoT, data can be produced by any devices.
Right.
Like from weighing machines to smartwatches, every device is capable of producing data.
Sure, so you've got a lot of sources of data.
Exactly. The number of sources has kind of increased tremendously over the past few years. And organizations are trying to get data, collect as much data as possible because the business questions are evolving over time.
Mm-hmm.
With the traditional data warehousing, what happened was the business questions or the use cases were kind of solidified much in advance. So they could collect data from all different sources. There were a few sources. They could collect data from all those sources, mm-hmm. ETL that into an enterprise EDW to drive analytics. And the whole goal of ETL was to transform the data into a schema that adheres to the data warehousing structure.
Right.
And there were like very mature tools out there. But what happened with big data and with IoT is that the questions that business wants to ask is kind of evolving over time.
Mm-hmm.
So the pattern evolved is that they are collecting all the data, they are ingesting data as much as possible into a center of gravity. And this center of gravity needs to be cheap storage, and that's where it kind of resulted in the evolution of the Hadoop ecosystem. Right?
Okay.
So you get data from all these different stores, put them into some storage, cheap storage, so that you can drive analytics over time.
So if I'm kind of hearing and understanding things correctly, the issue is that, you know, in, you know, olden days, so, you know, a year ago, something like that, you know, the queries that the analytics people had, that kind of drove a lot of what they were doing as far as the actual data ingestion and what they were actually doing, whereas now they have so many different sources that it's becoming more a matter of here's all the data available, now, you know, go and do whatever analytics over you want. So it's not being analytics driven as much as it's being data driven.
Exactly. And the picture here kind of showcases that. Right here you see the traditional data warehousing, right? This is the traditional data warehousing workflow. You have sources, ETL them into EDW to drive analytics. And as we discussed, then this happened, right? Like with the evolution of big data with its properties of volume, velocity, and variety, and with IoT especially, organizations want to collect as much data as possible. Mm-hmm. So it moved from doing an ETL to ingestion first, and then doing refinement on demand by collecting them into the center of gravity, which is a cheap storage, which also provides compute, just like what HD Insight or Hadoop does.
Okay.
And then you drive analytics, usually just like what was happening earlier.
Right.
Right. And so from a data integrator perspective, right, the number of tools that they use today has increased tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
So it provides them new paradigm, but the number of tools also brings in challenges. Right. So there are tools that are provided by open source systems. There are tools that are provided by traditional ETL technologies. Mm-hmm. And then there are tools that are inbuilt, homegrown by organizations.
Sure.
So now, from a data integrator perspective, they need to integrate all these tools to build the best of breed analytics platform.
Mm-hmm.
And while doing so, they have this composition challenge, right? Because like you have all these tools, you want to bring them together, you want to do orchestration, operationalization, management, monitoring, et cetera. And in doing so, you are hitting all these challenges. And what we understood is that, yes, there is this problem that exists, and Azure Data Factory actually helps solving that problem.
Okay.
And providing this composition platform that works across diverse and disparate processing environments, data stores, data movement services to operationalize analytics.
Okay.
So we are starting out with providing this ecosystem for Azure and doing a hybrid for moving data from on-prem SQL Server into Azure.
Okay.
Over the course of time, we want to make this diverse across like on-prem Hadoop ecosystem, integrating with SSIS and some of the other products and solutions out there.
Okay, makes sense.
So if I have to kind of summarize Azure Data Factory in one slide, this is what I'm going to say, right? It's a new service, just like I mentioned earlier, for data developers and IT. It provides a composition platform for storage, data movement service, and processing environments to create and manage analytics pipelines, and we want to do that across on-prem, cloud, and SaaS ecosystems. We want to provide rich, simple, end-to-end pipeline monitoring and management, and I'll showcase that shortly because that is one of the major, major problems for data integrators today and from IT today, right? Data integrators are building these composition platforms, and they want to provide this rich experience so that IT can identify very quickly when things go wrong.
Sure.
And they're not able to provide that experience today. They're spending months and years to build the system, but be able to proactively identify when things go wrong is extremely challenging today.
Sure, that makes sense.
And as I mentioned earlier, we initially focused on Azure and hybrid movement to from on-premise SQL Server. Over time, we are going to support additional storage and processing environments.
Okay, I think that makes sense.
So Azure Data Factory has been in public preview since October 27th. We have been in private preview much earlier than that.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working with a number of internal and external customers across different use cases in production.
Okay.
So here I have tried to summarize the list of top use cases for Azure Data Factory. And if you see here, we support various use cases across different industry vertical, right? From interactive entertainment retail to finance to manufacturing. And what I'm going to do today is kind of drill down into some of these use cases. So I'm going to drill down into a couple of very interesting use cases. One is the customer sentiment analysis,
mm-hmm.
which is very common. And the other one is operational telemetry and health reporting.
Now, I feel like when I hear sentiment analysis, it brings me back to an episode we did a little while back about machine learning. Is this going to plug into stuff like that?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and I'll showcase that in one of the demos that I'm going to do shortly, wherein you'd see how Azure Data Factory can be used to operationalize a machine learning model.
Okay, great.
Okay, so the example use case that we are going to look at today is customer sentiment analysis. And this is a classic example of data that is produced by, say, Twitter or any other social tools.
Sure.
And then you want to ingest that to understand what, say, customers are talking about a brand or a product.
Absolutely.
Very often what we see is that companies and organizations, they do they have some kind of marketing campaigns. Mm-hmm. They have product launches, they have marketing campaigns, and whenever it happens, they want to understand, determine what customers are talking about that, what people are talking about their products and brands.
Yep, absolutely.
So very often they need to kind of connect to all these different sources and get sentiments and understand the polarity of the sentiments, right? Like whether it's a positive sentiment, it's a negative sentiment, mm-hmm. or sentiments are neutral.
Yep.
And this provides a classic data integration problem, right? You have sources you want to bring in, you want to kind of use machine learning predictive models to determine the polarity of the sentiments, you want to aggregate, join them using some big data compute, and then use the data for driving analytics. So it's a classic problem of big data compute and also machine
it's
learning.
It's funny because, you know, you think about that, you know, as the simplistic, hey, I'm just going to watch Twitter and say what people are saying about my company, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like relatively easy, and you could have a person that just sits there and looks at all the tweets, the tag, you know, Microsoft, for example, it's like, oh, this one looks good, this one looks like they're not happy, et cetera. But it's, you know, when you actually look at, you know, the example of this, you know, chart you have here, it is very, very complicated.
Absolutely. Right, so as I mentioned, like, it uses different technologies, it uses different stores, different processing environment. And with Azure Data Factory, we want to showcase today how it can be used to compose all of these by using a single end-to-end infrastructure into manage and govern pipelines.
Okay, great.
So this is the latest and greatest Azure portal. Internally, it's also called Ibiza. It's in public preview, and Azure Data Factory is already integrated with this.
Okay.
Right, so today in Azure Data Factory public preview, you can go into this new select Data Factory.
Is this something somebody has to like request to turn on, like the old preview features, or is
nope.
this going to show up now?
It shows up now.
Great.
So you can go into here and start creating your Data Factory. Right, so from Data Factory perspective, Data Factory per se is neither storage nor compute.
Okay.
What essentially it does is provides this composition platform. And the layer of Data Factory is the rich orchestration and the monitoring management layer.
So it's
and it works with metadata and not real any physical data.
Okay, so it's really like you're creating this Data Factory and it's almost like an organizational system for all these other resources.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you organize all these resources, you compose them, and you monitor, govern, manage, and provide operationalization.
Okay.
And I guess it's based on a resource group?
Yes. This is integrated with that notion of Azure Resource Groups. So when you create the Data Factory, you can select your resource group name, you select your subscription. We are currently on West US, but as I said, this neither does any computation nor any data movement. So this is the kind of the logical grouping layer is in the West US, but you can have your data wherever you want. You can have your processing environment wherever HD Insight supports.
Okay.
So for this demo, I'm not going to create a new data factory, but I'm going to use one of our existing data factory. It's called Sentiment Analysis Data Factory. And here, when I click on this, I can quickly see a summary of this data factory, right? And there are a few terms here. I'm going to explain them quickly. So let's start with link services. Link services are the credentials for data stores that you want to register with your data factory. So you as a customer already has a subscription, you have your own storage, you want to bring that and register with Data Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And this notion is what we call as link services.
Okay.
So you register your connection strings of data stores so that the pipeline can work against them.
Makes sense.
The data sets are named view of data that's on the disk. So this is also an assertion of the schema that is of the data on disk, right? This is something very similar to the notion of external tables in Hive.
Okay.
Which is a logical description of the data. Mm-hmm. And then you have pipelines.
So just one second, because I'm not really very familiar with some of the big data stuff. So is a data set like a SQL view, or is
exactly.
it like a okay.
You got it.
Great.
Right? So it's a SQL view.
Perfect.
And also for the linked services, so does the data factory pull those data sources, or there's some pushing mechanism to get the data into the pipeline?
So what the pipeline is doing essentially is, you are saying that your data is located here,
mm-hmm.
right? So the pipeline is the description, is the definition of what you want to do with that data. You
mm-hmm.
can copy that data from one location to another,
mm-hmm.
or you can also assert your intention of like doing a processing within the pipeline. So a pipeline is a graph of activities. Mm-hmm. And each activity is a unit of transformation. And this transformation could be a processing unit, mm-hmm. or this could just be copy or data movement.
Mm-hmm.
And each activity consumes data sets and produces data sets.
Okay. So I can have an activity, let's say, let's just say we have an on-premise SQL server, mm-hmm. right? How do I get the SQL server data into this pipeline? Do I have an activity that reads from the SQL server data and then
write to a blob store, for example?
Write to a blob store, okay.
Right, so if you want to do movement, data movement from an on-prem SQL server into blob store, you have to do two things, right? First, you define a corresponding data set for the SQL table mm-hmm. on-premise and a corresponding table for the blob store. Now, then once you have done that, you define a pipeline with a copy activity that copies the data from on-prem SQL server into blob store.
Okay.
And for an on-prem SQL server, in addition to doing these, you need to install something which we call as a gateway. This is a piece of software that we provide to provide to our customers who wants to move data from an on-premise ecosystem into cloud. So once you install the gateway, it's kind of a dedicated tunnel, opens up the connectivity between on-premises and cloud.
Okay. But is that is actually moving the data, or is it just allowing us to go fetch the data for the analysis?
No, it just moves the data physically from an on-premises into cloud.
Okay, great.
So most interestingly, if I click at the diagram view, right, this is the lineage of your data integration workflow. So in this example, you see that you have data in Twitter source, and this looks something like this, right? Bunch of tweets. And here, the keyword that I'm using is IoT, very popular. Internet of Things, I want to kind of identify what customers are telling about IoT, essentially.
Makes sense.
Right? So this is your raw tweets, which we pull from Twitter using the free Twitter APIs. So we have an activity here that goes into Twitter, uses the Twitter API, gets the data, and dumps it into a blob store. So in the blob storage, it looks something like this. So I have the raw tweet streams, which is partitioned by year, month, day. And every day, I get a dump of the tweets based on the keywords that I'm passing.
Right.
And once I get the tweets, I do some data preparation. I extract the tweets and then send it to a machine learning model for identifying the polarity of the tweets.
Okay.
So I want to kind of segregate the tweets into positive tweets, negative tweets, and neutral tweets.
Okay.
So it gets passed into a machine learning model, and then I get the data back from machine learning model into a blob store, and then perform aggregation using Hive to aggregate that and identify the counts of the tweets that are marked positive, count of the tweets that mark negative, and neutral. And the end, it gets pushed into a SQL, an Azure SQL DB, which is the data mart here for analytics. So the final data looks like this, right? Like, so you have the date, you have the Twitter sentiments, and you have the counts, right? Mm-hmm. So I can say on this particular day, I have these many tweets that are negative, these many tweets that are positive, and some that are neutral.
Okay, so you can then graph that over time.
Like, exactly.
Hey, people are becoming much more positive
about
IoT, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
So this is a classic example, right? Like, so you're using different computes, you're using your machine learning, you're using your HD Insight for processing, and then you're moving the data, you're copying the data from the using the Twitter APIs, getting that data into Blob Store, processing that data, and pushing it out to a data mart for analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And this entire, all of these are composed using Data Factory, and you can see this nice lineage view, and you can monitor manage it over time, right? Like, mm-hmm. so here you see all these nodes as green. That means the processing has completed successfully. If there was a failure, you'd see that here.
Okay.
And I'd show that quickly in another example wherein you'd see some of the failures and you'd be able to take corrective actions.
Okay, great.
But is this a continuous workflow?
Meaning this is a continuous workflow.
So the green icon means currently it's okay.
Exactly. So this is operationalized daily, right? So it goes every day at midnight, hits the Twitter APIs, gets the tweets, puts it into Blob Store, and then kicks off this entire processing chain.
Where do you specify that hey, this should run every day at midnight?
Correct. So what we do currently is, like, this is the programmatic surface area. So we author this pipeline using JSON.
Mm-hmm.
And once this pipeline is authored, we use PowerShell to define the active period on when to start, when to end, et cetera.
Okay.
So we have very good contents out there online, and there are some nice videos where we are talking in depth about the authoring experience. Here I wanted to focus on some of the use cases.
Great, and we'll make sure we link to those under the video so you can go back and kind of get some of that pre-knowledge as well.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the Twitter sentiment analysis use case using Azure Data Factory. What I want to now do is showcase another example. Which is a more involved data factory. This is what we call as the ADF Data Lake Factory. We are essentially using ADF itself to get operational telemetry about data factory.
Okay.
Right? So we kind of, our goal is to get a 360-degree usage view of data factory, both from a usage perspective and also from a health perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And we have created this data factory that allows canned reports and that also allows self-service. And our goal is to kind of create a blueprint of a modern telemetry system by using Data Factory.
Okay. So you're actually getting analysis on Data Factory using Data Factory?
Exactly.
It's very meta.
And here, if I click on the diagram, you'd see the complexity of this factory. It takes a little bit. Here, I can see the diagram now.
That's a lot of pieces. A few more than the last sample.
A few more than the last sample here. So here, you see how quickly the data integration workflows can become complex over time. And it happens very quickly, right? We just started building it about a month and a half back, and now you see that this is a very complex workflow. And the goal here is to get data from various sources, both internal sources that are in cloud, on-premises, and also SaaS, right? Like, so what we do is we collect all these different sources like Web Trends, MDS, which is monitoring and diagnostic services. Most of the internal Microsoft users are aware of that. That is used as an instrumentation platform. So we go collect data about ADF from that. We collect data from Web Trends. We collect data from on-prem data warehouse. And what we do is after the data is collected into Blob Store or the data lake, the idea here is to build a data lake that can be used to run analytics for Data Factory itself.
What exactly is a data lake?
So essentially the goal here is to create a repository of data by collecting as much data possible into this storage, which is cheap, and which also provides kind of a compute, right?
Okay.
So you can think of data lake as a combination of storage and compute, which acts as a repository so that we can do analytics over time.
Okay, great.
And on demand. Right, so in this data factory, you can see there are things that are green, and there are things that are red. And you can see the lineage all over the place, right? So you can actually see how data from a source is getting processed into destination data set, and then that gets copied back to back to an Azure SQL DB, and also in some cases on-prem for driving analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And here, if I click on this data set, which is red, you'd see that there are failures. This is the other huge value prop of Azure Data Factory, right? You can quickly see a single pane view of your entire data integration workflow.
Yep.
And this is great, right? Like, so today, when we talk to customers, what the feedback that we get is that getting this kind of view is almost impossible today.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're doing is they're using different technologies to build this data integration
right.
workflow. It is not that they're using one single end-to-end infrastructure that provides this kind of capability.
Mm-hmm.
So they are using these different tools, and they say that they have some visuals of their system, but this visuals very soon becomes like outdated, right?
Right?
Here, what we are trying to do is provide a live visual of your running data integration system.
Sure.
So here you see this entire workflow, you see the lineage, and you are seeing both the operational health and the lineage together in one view.
Definitely.
So you can quickly identify where the source is, where the destination is, and also see the health. And now that you can see the health here, you see there are things that are in ready status, that means it has been successfully processed, and things that have failed, that means that there was a failure, and you can quickly drill into what caused the failure. right? You can see the error messages here. And the interesting thing is that you can go and rerun or restate only this particular chunk of the data that has failed, right? So, and this is another key capability of smart restatement provided by Azure Data Factory. Some of the products and competitors, what they do is they provide restatement, but they provide restatement at the data set itself. So you have to restate the entire data set.
Time.
In the big data paradigm, that could be like terabytes of data.
Sure.
And it could cost you a lot of money to perform restatement. But with Azure Data Factory, what we are essentially trying to do is allow you to restate only a specific chunk of the data. So you're able to identify which chunk failed, and you go and rerun the particular activity run for that particular
definitely
data.
Definitely sounds like that's a much better and beneficial system.
But when I rerun the activity, if there's a downstream component on my pipeline, will that trigger those downstream?
Exactly. That's a great question.
Okay.
So what happens is since you have seen the dependency network, what it will go do is when you rerun that, it will cascade downstream and it will also rerun downstream dependencies.
That's really powerful.
That is. Now, if you go back to the diagram for just a second, if there were downstream elements from here, so we have the table sequence, this one right here, the one that's red, if there were downstream elements, those would never have executed because that first element failed. So it's not like you're rerunning the downstream stuff because it never would have ran in the first place.
Exactly.
Great.
But like when you re-execute this, it becomes successful, it kicks off the run and also the downstream.
And then so everything should then work and be done.
Right, so this is the other example that I wanted to showcase today, and this is a very powerful example. And as I mentioned, our goal is to create this blueprint using Data Factory itself, so that we can help both internal and external customers when they come and tell us that they have this requirement of building a modern operational telemetry solution. We can give them this template and say that this is how we have done it, and this is how you can do it.
So I have a question about the compute.
Yeah.
In this situation where you've got like something that's doing this compute, is it going to be like a cloud service that you're going to execute, or just a, you know, like an EXE that you say, hey, I want you to go run this? Like, how do you define that compute?
So the compute, usually, today what we do is we support HD Insight as the compute environment, right? So the actual processing happens with Hive or BigQuery in the case of HD Insight.
Right.
So we support both those. We also support running custom code.
Okay.
Right, so you can write your custom code and you can orchestrate that using Azure Data Factory.
Okay, cool.
In case of machine learning, we just operationalize a machine learning model. So you as a customer, if you have your data scientists who are creating the ML model, today our customers, like before ADF customers had to write custom code to operationalize that model with their stream of data or with their batch data. With Azure Data Factory, what we allow you to do is, like if you have your batch data, you want to pass the data to a machine learning model, just like what we saw in the sentiment analysis use case, you'd be able to do that and operationalize that entire workflow.
Very cool.
But you just say I can use custom code if I want to, right? But if I use the custom code, where are those components hosted? Is it hosted by Data Factory?
Yes, so what you do is you'll have your custom code, all the DLLs of your custom code published to a blob store, and you provide a pointer to that blob store within the activity. And then Azure Data Factory goes, reads the code, and executes that in an HD Insight cluster as a mapper-only job.
Okay, so it's trying to find the executable, or if there's an interface it's looking for? So
yeah, we provide interfaces, and you can also have DLLs.
I see, okay. And can you manage scaling of those components as well? Let's say if I want to have a fatter pipeline of processing, I want 1,000 instances of those.
Absolutely, right? Like, so what we have is from the HD Insight perspective, from the compute perspective, we support two modes.
Mm-hmm.
One is bring your own cluster. So if you are a customer, you want to, you already have your HD Insight cluster, you want to bring that cluster and register with Data Factory, you should be able to do that. We also support another mode, which is called on-demand. So in the case of on-demand, you as a customer are not managing the HD Insight cluster or the compute cluster. We, from the Azure Data Factory perspective, we kind of manage the cluster. We create the cluster on the fly, we tear down the cluster on the fly, and we also scale up.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's what I need. I don't want to learn about HD Insight, but I just want to put my code somewhere, then someone just manage it for me.
Exactly, and that's the whole premise here, right? So from the customer's perspective, you don't need to deal with any infrastructure details. right? So one of the quotes from Gartner is that about 85% of Fortune 500 organizations mm-hmm. are not able to deal with big data for gaining competitive advantage due to large cost of data management and data processing. Mm-hmm. And also what we have seen from our customers, both internal and external, is that they spend months and years to build all these data integration workflows and data integration solutions. Now, from Azure Data Factory, our goal is to empower the data developer to create this best of breed systems for enterprise-grade analytics without dealing with the infrastructure details. Mm-hmm. You as a user, you as a data integrator, don't need to deal with any infrastructure details. Mm-hmm. You only deal with the processing or the business logic and transformation. You know about your data, you can build transformation, and let ADF handle all the infrastructure details.
Yeah.
Very cool. I know where I used to work, you know, it was, there'd be, you know, a query I wanted to be executed, you know, across our, you know, our big data store.
Correct.
And something, it seemed like it'd be very simple, but it really was super complicated just for them to just build out the query and make it work. So
exactly.
This looks like it, you know, would really help make that much faster.
Absolutely. Like if you have your query, the normal life cycle of data integration is you first explore with sample data, you create some queries, like say you're creating Hive queries and you want to explore with some sample data. Once mm-hmm. you have done with that exploration, the next step is where you want to operationalize.
Mm-hmm.
And today, to do the operationalization, you have to write code. You have to write a lot of code.
Yep.
And we are taking away that friction, right? You don't have to write any code from the infrastructure perspective to operationalize. And on top of that, we are providing this rich monitoring management experience, right? The analogy here is like SCCM for data integration.
Mm-hmm.
Just like SCCM provides rich monitoring management and management for enterprise assets, what ADF wants to do is provide that kind of a monitoring management for data integration. So you're getting management, monitoring, and also rich lineage of the data graph, just like you saw in these examples, right?
Okay.
So these are examples wherein you are able to easily drill down into what's going on in your workflow from moving from the source to processing to destination and also viewing the health information.
Very cool stuff. Where can we point people if they want to learn more
absolutely
about ADF?
So we have some great resources in online in azure.com. There are a bunch of tutorials, bunch of getting started materials, so customers can look into that. We have great videos in Channel 9,
mm-hmm.
You can use those videos as a starting point. We have great samples in GitHub.
Great.
Right? Everything that I showed here today is available as sample in GitHub.
Very cool. Awesome.
And then from a user feedback perspective, if somebody has a question or report an issue, they can go into our forum and report issues.
Okay, great. And we'll make sure those links are at the bottom as well.
Actually, before we let you go, I have two more questions. The first is how the Event Hub will fit into this picture. Is it an activity that you can plug into this pipeline?
Yeah, so from an Event Hub integration perspective, what we are trying to do is work with Stream Analytics folks, ASA. So as I mentioned, Azure Data Factory, think of this as a composition platform,
mm-hmm.
right? We want to be able to compose data integration workflows across different processing environments, different data stores. Mm-hmm. Event Hub could be one of the data stores.
Mm-hmm.
Azure Stream Insight, Stream Analytics, which is already integrated with Event Hub,
mm-hmm.
that we are working towards integrating with that. So you can have a data workflow which includes data in motion as well as data at rest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Azure Data Factory today is mainly focused on data at rest.
Mm-hmm.
You need to bring the data to rest for performing batch processing to get historical analytics of your data. Now, think of a scenario where you have data coming in mm-hmm. through Event Hub, perform some kind of near real-time analytics with Azure Stream mm-hmm. Analytics, and then you want to spool the data into a blob store and run your historical aggregations on that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to provide this kind of an ecosystem with Azure Data Factory.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah.
Okay.
And the final question from me is, how does the pricing work? How do we charge?
Yeah, so we have pricing information in Azure.com.
Okay.
The pricing is very straightforward. We have two tiers. One is low-frequency tier, another is high-frequency tier. And it depends on the number of activity runs.
Oh, okay.
Right? So yeah, as soon as you create your factory, you create your pipelines, you immediately know what kind of tier you belong to. And the pricing details on each one of these tier is in Azure.com site. So you can go into that, learn about the pricing, but it just under these two tiers.
Cool.
Everybody out there, thanks for watching. Please make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.